Hey, Potty Break listeners. We have a Twitter feed now. It's at Potty Break, P-O-D-D-Y Break, at Potty Break on Twitter. So, yeah, we're going to start using that just for, you know, some feedback, ask questions. We're going to have contests in the future. We want to see how you like the podcast. Any you know, criticisms or things that you like, just let us know. So at Potty Break on Twitter. Hey, this is Tim Hawkins, and it's time for a potty break. All right. Back. Gonna do it again, baby.
Do it again.
Locked and loaded.
Back at it.
Eastbound and down.
That's right.
What's up, KK? Caleb on the mic with me, my cohort, partner in crime on the Potty Break show.
I like that. What does that word mean? Cohort. Is that like a sidekick?
Hort. I'm a hort, and you...
I'm the
assist
who.
My hoarding. You're
the
Horton.
Who.
Yes. I'm Horton,
to your
and
hort.
You are my who.
I like that.
You are who.
That's a nice ring to it. I like your hat.
Why, thank you. I didn't even know what to call it. This is like one of those ski lodge.
Yeah. It's got the flaps. Hats.
My question is, it's got the, what do you call this thing on the top? This little yarn ball.
Yarn ball.
It's like, what's the purpose of that? I guess it's just complete decoration. Complete decoration.
I like, you have like the left flap. You have the right one? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You have them both flipped up.
Well, see, I have the flap because their flaps go over my ears, but if I put the earphones on, it's just muffled. So I just pull them up.
But you still want the top of your head to be warm.
Yeah.
That's innovative.
Yeah, feels good.
I respect
that.
I
guess the older I get, I'm very averse to cold. I get cold easily.
Do your feet get cold? My feet get so cold.
I don't know. When I in bed, I usually have the 1 foot out. That's kind of how I you
I couldn't
know,
do that.
You have the one foot under the covers and then the 1 foot, you know what I'm talking,
socks
talking
off?
About? Huh?
Socks off?
Socks off.
You can't
I wear
the socks
into the bed, but then I take the socks off in bed. That's one of the best feelings you can have.
That's true. That's a good point.
We better get going here because it's a fun show tonight. This is part two of our time with the great Bob Smiley, everybody. We had a good first show with Bob, I thought.
Yeah, it was good.
And we thought it was good. We examined my cohort.
Okay, you're not supposed to talk right now.
Sorry.
You're not supposed to talk right now. That's fine.
Okay, shut your mouth.
That could
shut
be our thing. We could just get mad at people for talking during the
I think
intro.
That has become the thing.
Well, when
you have gotten
how
mad
are we
every
supposed
episode.
To know when we are supposed to jump in? We
professionalism?
Okay, well, you knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Fill the room, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah. But we got the great Bob Smiley with us from Houston, Texas, and on the potty break today. So let's get started with the Bob man.
Right. I'm actually excited
right.
I'm all...
Shut up! Let's get started right now. Dude, man, you are not boring. I'll give that to you, Bob Smiley.
My life is always interesting.
Why are you
not boring?
Look
at me. I sound like a man. My voice sounds like a guy's voice right now.
That's
not.
Come on. It's deeper than normal.
Well, your voice on stage has gotten lower than it used to be.
Yeah.
Why
and
is
just,
that?
Well, I'm just getting over bronchitis, so it's real scratchy right now.
Yeah.
But also, just talking for years, my voice has gotten a lot deeper. Mm-hmm. Like when I did Mullets on Fire, I went back and I had to watch all my old DVDs to make sure that I wasn't like bringing a joke that I'd already done on a DVD. Do you do that? Do you go back and watch your old stuff? And,
I have
make sure?
I have a list. My production guy Robert, he wrote down every joke that I've done on all the DVDs.
So you have a guy. Oh.
I have a man who watches
that's
video
a,
for me.
A man. I have to go back and watch all this. And I was like, when I listened to the first, I've got a funny feeling about this. I was like, holy crud, my voice really was way high.
Yeah.
Like it, and now, so it has gotten a lot deeper just because I think I talk so much. It's just.
Well,
I'm
I think, and also
it.
On stage, when you're on stage, you're more like John Crist, our buddy John Crist. He talks
like this dog, just like you, like this.
He has
right
a stage
out,
voice.
He's got a stage voice. It's an octave higher
it,
than his regular voice.
So when you're talking about, hey, man, we're going to crush it, man. We're going to crush it.
Yeah, it's
going to
be great.
But when he's on stage, hey, what are you doing? Crush it.
What are you doing?
What's up?
It kind of tightens up. It's like a constipation voice.
What are we doing? We're going to crush
we're
this place,
we're going to push
man.
It through.
Can you imagine him on the pot, on stage? They want to go up another octave.
Oh, man.
What are we doing?
We'll have him on.
But Bob Smiley, I mean, my gosh, where do you start? Comedian, hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob's a guy who could live off the land, and I'm not, like, totally. I mean,
I really could. Like, I really possess the
knowledge. I mean, you sent me this a few years ago, and I asked you to do this, where killed a deer and dressed it. Just cut it open and dressed it and took everything out.
And I filmed it like a documentary to teach you how to do that.
Yeah. It was gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you watched it twice.
Still haven't forgiven you. Yeah. I still haven't forgiven you.
It's interesting because people don't, you know, like if you didn't grow up doing that stuff, mm-hmm. you know what's weird?
Not at all.
It sounds like a joke, but my mom taught me how to gut a deer. Like, and I remember, like, I was in fourth grade, and my mom was out there teaching me how to gut a deer, and I actually
had
that moment.
Did she teach you on a deer or something
she taught
else?
Me, yeah, on a deer. No, it was a deer that she killed. Mm-hmm. And she was like, hey, let me show you how to do this. And I even remember thinking, you know what, this is a pretty mm-hmm. cool experience. You know, like, right. even at the time, I valued how I was being raised. Yeah. Because, you know, not everybody gets to be raised.
Was she,
like
protective, like a mama bear?
Like a mama bear?
She
was at school because she was, like, you know, she was one of the teachers up at school. Mm-hmm. And my dad was the principal and then superintendent. And, so she was very protective. Now, she would hit me if I was acting up or, you know, like I'd walk down the hallway and if I was, like, talking or something, she'd pop me in the head. But
but
if somebody else, like, attacked me, she was like a mm-hmm. mama bear. Yeah, my mom, my parents are just great. We both have really great parents.
We do.
Yeah.
I love your parents.
Yeah, they're sweethearts.
I got to hang out. They came to the comedy cruise last year. Just awesome.
And my dad really is funny. And this is a true story. But last Thanksgiving, I was taking down boxes, and my mom found her old ballet stuff. And she goes, I used to love to wear this tutu. And my dad, without missing a beat, was like, well, nowadays it'd have to be a 4-4.
Wow. So, got him.
Yeah, it was, I think she used a 4x4.
She's fat.
Yeah. But it was so quick. Like, it was so quick. Yeah. So yeah, I grew up with really funny people.
Yeah, I hope I don't do that though a lot when I get older, you know, it's like how like when men get older with their wives.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wife. They call them the wife. Yeah, the wife doesn't want me going.
Yeah. Well, but my parents are very, very in love and very mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Very almost too affectionate. Like, I remember when I came home from college the first week and I was sitting on the couch. I hope this is okay to say, but my dad's just really funny, and he was just like wiggling around the couch. He's like, ah, like he couldn't get comfortable. And I was like, what's up with you? And he's like, oh, I'm just not used to you being back. It's weird having clothes on. I was like, oh, man. But there's a sweetness to it that they've been married that long.
Oh,
you know,
your dad's like a pervert. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. My dad's a pervert. My mom guts deer.
I like your dad. He's just a perverted old old fart. Now, your dad was a superintendent, right?
Yeah.
In a small Texas town?
In a small town, yeah. We had I had 17 in my graduating class. We had 281 people that lived in our town.
Yeah.
My dad was a superintendent, mm-hmm. and he was really funny. And he would come eat lunch with me a lot. And he would do funny stuff. Like one time, mm-hmm. and I fell for this, but he walked in and he goes, hey, I got to make an announcement. Will you help me? And I was like, yeah. And so I stood up and he goes, hey, can we all have everybody's attention, please? This is what happens if you don't drink your milk. And, you know, I'm just standing there like emaciated, you know.
Yeah.
And he would do funny stuff like that. Or he would come over the intercom because my ears are big. And one time he was like, can we have everybody's attention? Bob Smiley, you left your earmuffs in the parking lot and we can't back the buses out. You know, and like he always.
That's
but it was
awesome.
All in fun. But he would come eat lunch with me. And kids, like all the cool kids, would want to sit at my table. Mm-hmm. And I, even then, like, I really appreciated having a cool dad that other kids wanted to sit and listen to me and my dad talk about the morning. And we would recap the morning for, you know, at lunchtime. And so we were the cool table because of that, because comedy.
Well, you have to. I mean, my mom's a third grade teacher. And my father was, he taught PE in middle school. And they're just great communicators. Now, my dad was a man of few words, kind of shy guy. But when I would go visit him, you know, he'd take me to school. And his middle school, I mean, he was a general. That was exactly what he's meant to do. He was awesome at it. The kids loved him. All the teachers loved him. He was just amazing at what he did.
Yeah.
And my mom's a third grade teacher. I mean, they're teacher superintendents, that kind of job, you have to be a good communicator.
Yeah.
And I was on a while back, I was on Dennis Rainey or some national talk show or whatever on the radio, and they had my mom call in. And then, but she was just a natural. I mean, she's funny and she just communicated. I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, she was hysterical.
Yeah. And that's where I would say I learned because they were good at being able to, you know, the talking thing where people understood that, that's, I think, why I'm so like really good at the, at,
anyway,
a
we got thanks. Wow.
To what I'm saying. You, you know?
I do.
You,
this episode's
going to
be 2 hours and 17
oh,
minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
What else are we going to do? We've got 6 hours
well,
of
Well, you know what? We got another special guest here with the mic.
And I'm a
and
huge fan of this
on.
Kid.
My son, Jackson, who just turned 10. What's up, Jay?
What's up?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Doing good?
Doing good.
Is that your Sylvester? Sylvester Stallone voice.
I'm
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, dude. Well, how'd you like it on the bus this weekend, man?
Yes,
was it fun?
It's fun.
Really fun? Are there, is there any questions you want to ask Mr. Bob? Anything you want to say to him? Get off your chest?
He's been asking me questions the, all three last days that we've been out.
Yeah.
Pretty much nonstop. You feel like you know me pretty well now?
I have.
I've known you since you were like 3 months old. And it's great to see you like have grown into a strong 6 year old.
Yeah,
yeah. I know you're 10, but
well, you know, I saw it, it was like today. You ever look at your kids and you're like, he's okay. You can tell they've gotten taller or something.
Yeah.
I looked at him today and I'm like, he's getting taller.
Yeah,
he's you're probably about 6'3".
I'm big.
Yeah,
I'm big.
Saw you zipping around on that Segway. How'd you like that?
That was fun. Yeah,
we travel with a Segway on the back of our bus. And,
I'm a boss at it.
While we were doing work and cleaning up, doing our jobs, Jackson was zipping around in the parking lot.
Yeah, I had nothing else to do.
You've gotten really good at it too, because you were zipping around.
We need to put some
the,
air in the tires, though. Did you notice that they're getting a little flat?
I did. Yeah, when you were on stage tonight, I think the past few nights, I think the guys in the production booth have noticed that.
Really?
Like, does he ever fall? Like, just waiting for it.
Well, tonight I was. It's like in the dark. They had one of those the wireless mics.
Poles. That was mine.
Yeah,
that was for our wireless receivers.
Yeah, I felt like one of those slalom skiers where you go around the poles and everything. Jack's amazing. He a very funny guy. We have a story. Last week we were watching The Martian. Remember that?
What?
The Martian with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Remember that? And there was a part. You know, he's stuck on Mars. And there's a part where he gets mad or frustrated. He starts cussing. He just says a bunch of cuss words. And it was me and your mom, and it was you. And I was like, we were like, oh, sorry, Jack, about that. And he goes, well, it seems appropriate. He's stuck on Mars.
I mean, I'd say it too.
Yeah, just magical things. The kids, things kids say.
He's brilliant.
The kid, kids say. Are you kidding me? He's a good man. But yeah, Bob, I mean, we're, gosh, what else about you is just incredible. You grew up not listening to a lot of music.
We never
Bob
listened
Dylan.
To music.
This guy's a Bob Dylan nut.
Me?
How did that happen?
No, not you, Jackson.
Jackson, quiet.
I never listened to music.
Shut up! Shut the kid up!
Hey, it's my turn
when
now.
It's my turn.
you've already got plenty of followers. I'm working here. I never listened to music at all. And my hook to get girls was to be funny. And so even when I was in the car, I didn't want to turn on the radio because then that was eating up my time where I could have been funny, you know, and try to, you know, get a girl. And so I never listened to music at all. And then when I my freshman year in college, I had a roommate and I was going to go run. And he goes, hey, do you ever listen to music? And I was like, no, but I kind of, you know, I wanted to get like a Walkman or something, but they wanted money for it. And so I was like, he goes, here, do this. And he gave me the Free Will and Bob Dylan, like cassette tape. And I went out into the parking lot at ACU and I turned it on. And I have a couple of those moments in my life that was kind of movie-esque. And I turned it on and that first song came on, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this?
What are these strange tones?
Yeah. And I sat.
What are these strange audio?
The colorations.
I sat in the parking lot and I never ran. I never ran that night. I just listened to that album twice through and I loved it. It was nicely played. And then I went to a record store and I bought every Bob Dylan record that they have. And that's what got me into music is that.
You bought them?
I went. Well, it was a record store. So they were like $2 for for a vinyl.
Now they're expensive.
Yeah, now
man.
They're $20.
The new thing.
Yeah, they're the hot thing. But back then, nobody bought them, and it was Abilene, Texas. So, and I still had a record player. I was one of the few guys who still had a record player, and I had some Bill Cosby albums and stuff. And so I went and I bought Bob Dylan, and that's how I got into it.
You have one now?
I still have a record player, yeah. It's up in Culture's room.
Bob?
No.
I was Bob like, Smiley, yeah. The greatest name for a comedian ever, Bob Smiley.
It really
Smiley.
Is Bob Smiley.
Why couldn't
out.
You do Robert Smiley?
It's too long.
What
it's
about Rob
long.
Smiley?
My fans have a short attention span, so Bob is about, that's about right for them.
So Rob Smiley, would you ever do that?
It doesn't have the ring to it, man. You want that buh. Trust me, we know comedy.
that buh?
You want that buh.
That,
buh.
Buh.
That's an attention grabber.
Is that
Ur
a thing?
Buh. Yeah. Rrr or buh. If I walked up to your face and I go, buh, you're going to look up. But if I go, and you're going to be mildly disturbed.
Is it
but
like
that's it.
You can make any word cool now? Like,
yeah, comedy is about the detail, and it's about the comedy is about the detail. It's like you think, well, when you're doing a joke, it's like, well, what's funnier is the word pickle or cucumber?
Yeah,
you know, pickle.
Pickle
is funnier.
You got the cool
pickle.
Pickle. Yeah,
is funnier.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Wait, why are they funny?
There's certain words that are funny, like K words are funny.
K?
For some reason, yeah, because it's got that k.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
That's
not.
True. Well, I know you've been doing comedy longer than me, Jackson, but just trust me on this.
We were in
I
bed one night, Heather and I
k
were.
K doesn't sound funny, and that starts with a K.
Well, it's about detail. See, like
sorry,
hot dog.
I'm laughing because you said cake. That was great.
Cake.
I really look, want cake now.
Well, here's that.
Thanks,
think about,
Dad.
Okay, honey, I'm going to spank you with the back of my hand. Let Daddy speak. Let Daddy speak just for
where is your taser?
No. Hold on. You're really taking off with this. That's good. I'm glad. Just go for it.
Okay, honey, I'm going to spank you.
Yeah, honey, I'm going to. Honey, I'm
I
going
love
to spank
you. So much.
God's backhand.
God's backhand.
Stronger than ever.
Oh, you're a nut. No, I was going to say, like, if you're telling a joke, the detail is funnier. Like, if you say hot dog, it's funnier to say ballpark Frank.
Yeah.
Oscar
yeah.
Mayer ballpark Frank, because it's more.
Something that's
more
descriptive.
It, yeah.
Because our job is to paint the picture that we see in our mind in the audience's mind.
Yes.
So the more descriptive you can be, the better that you draw them in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got all poetic there, though, huh?
I got all poet there.
I got all. I'm the You make people understand what I'm saying.
But you're talking about names where, I don't know if I tell you this story, Heather and I. You know how you get, like, slap happy at night and you're slapping about anything? Heather and I was talking about, I don't know, what's the name, like, for Alex, the long name? What's the long, it's Alexander, yeah, okay, Alexander. Like, what about Timothy, and then Jonathan, and then she goes, what about Ron? No, she goes, what about Roy? And then there's like 5 seconds of silence, and then she goes, Raul? Raul!
Tell the one where you guys were playing the game where you were like she would say a word, and then you would say the word that.
Word association.
Word association.
Let's play word association, and we're just like, okay. First word that comes to your mind, all right, apple. And she's like, orange. And I go, hot. And then she goes, cold. And then I go, chimp. And she goes, pansy.
I've laughed at that so many times.
I fell out of the bed.
One of my favorite stories.
I fell out of the bed.
Oh,
fell
my
out.
Goodness. And I can picture Heather saying that. That's so great.
Oh, she had one this last week. She said that somebody, he was real thin and gaunt looking, real thin guy, instead of emaciated. She goes, he looks emancipated.
He looks
I know
free.
He does look like he just got freed from slavery.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome. Well, you've been through a lot this last year, man.
Man, this year's been crazy.
This is, I mean, when you say it's been crazy.
And a lot of people don't know.
Well, I mean, let's, I'm going to let you pilot this thing.
All right.
And I know we usually have a pilot that's on. Where's the pilot? He's here. We have a special character. The pilot?
Yeah, this is the pilot. Hey, how you doing? You're going to take, we're going to be about 33,000 feet. And we're going to be flying to about the turnaround. So we're going to take good care of you. So whatever you need, please let us know. And we'll take care of you.
That was the pilot. He comes in.
Can I have cake?
You want cake? Get out of here.
But
how about, this segue? I'm flying solo now.
Yeah.
Oh.
You are flying solo.
Yeah.
Now this is something I got of a I think it was a text for you from you or
no,
I can't remember.
You.
It was a phone call, and
yeah,
I think
I
it was a
you.
Message and said you wish it was bad news and you were telling me about what had happened. So kind of walk us through the timeline of what's been going on.
I'm now divorced. I actually was on tour with you and, when I called you, I was like, there's no warning, but then looking back on it, there was some, you know, like I noticed whenever I ride in the passenger seat of her car, she started turning my airbag off. And I guess it was a little, little things like that.
Just stepping away.
Yeah. And, no, I got home and I won't tell exactly how I found out because I promised her lawyer that I went to Mr. Mansnipper. I got home and found out that my wife didn't want to be married anymore, and it was a total shock. And at first I thought, well, there's, you know, something, you know, there's got to be something going on, you know, midlife crisis. This day, I still don't know, but, she told me and she moved out, she moved in with her mom. Mm-hmm.
Was this something that you were leading up? You knew this was going to happen, or you're saying that you came home.
I came home.
What month was where?
It was in November. And and I had been out and we'd done like a 3-4 day tour.
And you had no idea this was coming.
And I came home and just got, just like blindsided. And, first I was angry. I was real angry. Like, you know, how come I didn't, you know, see this coming or any of that kind of stuff. And then I tried to, you know, work through it. And, again, not trying to be mean or negative, but she was done. Like she just.
Mm-hmm. I'm out of here, yeah.
Yeah, just I guess she had thought about it for a long time on her own and then finally got, you know, the courage up to say it. And then when she said it, she just kind of. She was done. And, so then she moved out and I called you. I got to give you huge credit because, you were one of the first people I called, but I waited about like almost 3 weeks, maybe a month. And you gave me the greatest advice. You said, don't go through this alone. And that's exactly what I was doing. And I was getting like, I was really depressed. I was like really kind of, you know, miserable. And when you said that, you said, don't go through this alone.
No, I didn't. I actually said, don't call me on the phone.
Yeah, that is what you said.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just want to clear that up.
But you reached out. You gave me your road manager's number.
Right.
And you said, you call him anytime that you need something scheduled.
Yeah.
And but I did. Yeah. So I started calling Streblo and Branyon and, you know, Johnny W. and all those guys that I was friends with. But I thought, man, they don't want to be bothered by my and what I found out, man, is that we really do all just love each other and we really want to help. Because you guys came out of the woodwork and, you know, helped me through. And even the kids, you know, like I got three boys. And
Your boys, are they all teenagers now?
No, I got a Xander actually.
Xander, 12?
He is going to be 11 this week.
Right.
And then Trent is 13 and Coulter is 16. My joke on stage is if anybody needs the correct answer to any question, he knows everything because he's in that 16-year-old mentality.
I think the thing is that you know everything until you get your first electric bill.
Yeah,
and then that's when things change.
Yeah, and he's gotten a couple of he has to pay for his own gas and stuff like that. So there's been a little kind of an awakening.
How are they doing? I mean,
they're holding up great. We've always been a funny family anyway, and so we deal a lot. You know, one of the things that we realized is that we now don't have any non-touchable decorative towels. Like we can use any towel, and that was like a big deal. And the first time we did it, it really was a comedy bit because we were all in the bathroom and we were all daring each other to go touch the towel.
Uh-huh.
And finally, Xander, my youngest one, he walked over and he kind of reached his hand up and we're like shaking it and he touched the towel and he looked back over and he knows this reference, but he's not even seen this movie. But he looked back over and he goes, freedom.
And
so then the next hour we were like popping each other with the decorative towels and all that kind of stuff. But there's been some, you know, you mentioned hunting. There's been so many. So it's been over a year now.
Yeah,
it's been over a year, and my kids have dealt with it really well.
We've parted ways. Right.
And she lives with her mom, but she lives in the same neighborhood, and so you know, she's close, and so the kids kind of hop back and
good or bad. I'm sure with positives and negatives.
It is because we both run, and we've had to alter our running schedules.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah, there's been some things to work through, and
you should just wear a bell. Just wear a big bell
around your
neck. Big bell.
Yeah. I do run now, looking back over my shoulder a lot now, in case there's a car, you know, speeding up.
It's like a Carrie Underwood song.
Yeah.
Two black Cadillacs. I did a gig when she was there last year, It was a Michael W. Smith thing, and she was in the thing. And I don't know. It was going okay. I didn't really. I don't know. It was kind of one of those corporate kind of feeling shows. Yeah. It was. I don't know. It was cool. Really nice people. But anyway, she was really cool, and she was in the audience, and I just went on a riff about, you know, her. You know, I don't know. I got here, and it was weird. I went down to my car, and somebody had dug their key into the side of my pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive and carved their name in my leather seats. They took a Louisville Slugger. You know all the rest. And then I went up to have that one song about, has no one asked questions about this? It's like the Two Black Cadillac song. Have you heard that one? It's like, oh, the guy cheated, so two ladies killed this guy with the Cadillacs. I'm like, is no one really accountable here, Carrie?
And they're humming along with it. Song. Yeah, it's so great. Well, we're comedians, and so that really was one of my first thoughts was when she told me, and you know, I was like, at first I thought it was, you know, like maybe it was a joke or, you know, and then whenever the reality set in, my thoughts were, this is horrible. This is, my life is over. How am I going to move on with this?
Well, I mean,
and then, but hold on.
Okay.
But then I went.
You hold on.
No, I'm sorry.
You both hold on.
But I just don't want to forget this
thought. Okay. My third thought was, you know, my life is over. I can't go on. Mm-hmm. Wow. My next DVD is going to be awesome. Because
really?
I thought, you know, because we're comedians. And so I thought, oh, the material.
You're like crying. I miss you. So you have a pen. Can okay. That'll work on stage. And okay, then I can say that'll be a callback.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that PH words aren't funny? like phone and fox and
I'm glad
stuff
we're
like
talking
that.
About.
Well, phone is good if you go, and my phone. It could be phone. Fun.
I'm glad we're talking about the darkest moment of my life. And he's like,
that's good.
PH. Yeah.
Just think
I
of him as that
innocence.
That voice in your head. Yeah. Just.
Wait, I said fox.
It's like he sounds just like I did at 10. Yeah. And that's
when I first saw him, he was like 3 months old, because I stayed at your house whenever he was about three or four. Mm-hmm. And then you brought him in and set him down, and I thought, They've done cloning. Like, I couldn't believe how much he looked like you and moved like you.
Little
You're both
cherub.
Wearing the same diaper.
I was better.
And yeah.
I mean, you could see the chills in my face. It's like, he's awesome.
Well, they did a rough draft first, and then they got to the main thing. So congratulations, Jackson.
If you saw my face, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What is happening to my eyes?
Tim's response.
Burning.
Yeah. Well, I don't. So did you finish your point?
Yeah, just the point that as a comedian, I did have that thought of, oh, man, this is the worst thing I'm ever going to have to deal with. How am I going to protect my kids? Oh, my goodness, my show is going to be so great.
Protect them from...
Well, just from, you know, how bad divorce is for kids.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, even whenever we you know, we had to sit down and tell the kids. And
are
the
they
two
in counseling?
Oldest,
are they in counseling?
They're not right now.
You think they...
I keep... Every week I talk to them about it. Here's the thing. I've always been very close with my kids. We've always been very active. But this year, I had no idea that I could be that close with my kids. Like, we really have leaned on each other. And my kids have seen firsthand how God has done so many great things. You mentioned hunting. I'll tell the story. But I take them hunting every Thanksgiving. And so Xander and I were in the deer stand, and we were trying to be quiet. And we both kind of are, you know, like, are loud. And you have to have... Hunters, this is going to sound odd to your listeners that don't know this, but we take deer urine in a little spray bottle and we spray them on our boots and to keep the deer from smelling you. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that works. Maybe some anti-deer hunter just made up that rumor to get
right.
back at us. They're doing it.
Right.
But I had a little spray bottle and we were sitting there and Xander looked over and
That's how I met my wife.
Yeah,
never
yeah.
mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. She didn't smell you coming. And, no, Xander looked over and he goes, hey, can I have some of that mouthwash? And there was a moment where I thought, oh, this is going to be good. But I told him, I said, no, this is deer urine. And so we were sitting there and it was real quiet. And then Xander goes,
welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Dax Shepherd. I'm joined by Minister Mouse Monica Padman.
Hi there.
We have a really fun show we want you guys to join. We talk to celebrities and professors and lawyers and doctors and very smart, interesting people. And we find out how messy their lives have been, how many twists and turns it took to get to where they're at, and a general exploration on the messiness of being a human being. And of course, Monica's, you'll get updates about her
love
building
life.
Project, love life, you name it. So if you want to join us, please follow Armchair Expert to get new episodes every Monday and Thursday. Plus, find your other favorite podcasts free on Spotify.
How do they get it? And I was like, how do they get what? He's like, how do they get the deer urine? Do they put a bucket under them and then scare them?
Right.
And so we died laughing at that because I never even thought about it. And I thought, there's no way we're going to get a deer because we were laughing so loud. And then like 30 minutes later, he got, you know, and he's 10.
Yeah.
And he got this really nice buck. And as we were walking back and the sun was going down and it was just beautiful, he just looked up at me. And, you know, we've been going through this for, you know, a year now. And he looked up at me and he goes, man, God keeps showing up. And that's been our year. Our year has been like, it's been tough. It's been an adjustment. But God just keeps showing up and doing amazing things. And my kids are seeing that. And they're giving credit to him. So so they're not in counseling right now. But every week I keep talking to them about, hey, is there anything you want to talk about? But they're so open with me about what's going on and how they're processing stuff. And yeah, they're
good
really
kids,
great.
Man. They're really awesome.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're just cool to hang out with. They're fun. My kids love hanging out with your kids because they're just – like Trent, he's like the turtle man or something.
He catches snakes all the time.
And what was that, iguana? It's like we saw these iguanas in Mexico, and me and this other burly dude friend of mine, we couldn't even get one. Then you send me a picture of him just holding up an iguana.
Yeah.
He
ran over and caught this huge iguana, and then several of the workers there came over, and so I thought, oh, we're going to get in trouble. And I go, and I ask him, I was like, is it okay if we catch one? And one of the workers goes, I don't know. I've never seen anybody do it.
Yeah.
And so they were just amazed.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And he was like 11 when he first did that. Yeah. But he's always been able to catch snakes. He caught a wild hog. We were driving around one night just spotlighting. Yeah. And we came up on a herd of wild, you know, feral hogs. And I was like, oh, look at those hogs. And all of a sudden, he had a little headlamp on his head. All of a sudden, I see that bounding out of our vehicle. And he just takes off in the dark.
Yeah.
And I hear, I got one. And he caught
a wild hog.
He chased it down and jumped it and grabbed the hind legs and then pinned it down. And so, I mean, it was, I ran into the pitch black.
Maybe you should collect some of his urine. That's like a special kind of powerful thing.
But he is a stud, man. He is absolutely.
And he's doing football now and everything.
He's played football. He played quarterback this year.
Doing good. Seems like I've seen some clips.
He's so good at school. Like, his grades are really good.
I get this question about, you know, do you think your kids will do comedy? I mean, you get that one, or do you?
Yeah,
I mean,
Xander's my funniest. Like, and the other two actually say that. Like, Xander, he is the funniest as far as quick-witted and stuff like that. Coulter has the stage presence. I've actually had Coulter open for me and do like two or three minutes, like at Spirit West Coast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he knows how to tell a joke, but he didn't really have the drive.
Yeah,
to do
it's
it.
More about the one. I don't. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, all my kids are funny. It's just, I don't. It's about what you want to do.
Yeah.
We're not good enough, are we, Dad?
Oh, you're totally good enough.
Is that what you think? Jeez.
No, I do.
Has anybody ever thought why our name is Potty Time?
It's
like, did somebody think of it while they were on the John or something?
It's a potty break.
I don't know.
Good riff.
It's a great question.
It's like, were they just like, this in the bathroom, just was like, I should make a podcast and call it Potty Time.
Or here's another random question that doesn't have anything to do with
it. In the bathroom.
But is there a way to edit this?
There is.
Oh, okay.
There is a way to edit this, Bob. Oh, Jackson. He really is the voice in your head.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm going to use that from now on.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like it's been a really, it's been a real rough year, but it also has been a great year. And that's the thing. I've started talking about it on stage because, you know, we talk about our life and this is my life now.
Because you said did you go back and do some open mic nights?
I started going to open mic nights.
Are you still doing that?
I am still
really?
Doing that.
Really?
I've never done that before.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I don't know if the church is ready to hear about this. But so I went to open mic nights, and I was going to go under an assumed name and pretend I was somebody else
and just try out all this stuff.
And as soon as I walked in, the MC guy goes, whoa, did Bob Smiley just walk in? And I go, oh, hey. And he goes, are you getting up tonight? And I was like, well, not now, you know. But I told him what I was there for, and he was like, no, I'll get up and do it anyway. And so I started doing it, and then I was playing Lakewood, and I mean, they're real open and honest about, you know, marriages. They're, you know, there's an attack on marriages going on there. And so they're real open and honest. They were like, man, if you want to talk about it, talk about it. So I started talking about it, and the thing that really dawned on me was, you know, for 18 years, I've been doing this for 19 years now. 18 years, I stood on a mountaintop with what I think was a perfect life. But I always told people, oh, God can get you through anything. But this past year, my kids and I, we've been wandering through a desert, and it's so refreshing to be able to stand on stage and look people in the eye and say, you know what? God can get you through anything because I've lived it. I've seen it.
I compare that to what you've gone through. So my wife's cancer, breast cancer.
Yeah.
Is that when you get hit with it, it's just like, it's like you get punched in the stomach.
Yeah.
And I mean, and as the days go by, as you kind of, for us, it was getting educated and like people coming out and helping us and supporting, you know, and I don't know, it was just a daily climb really where you gradually come out of it and that, you know, you're just totally at fear. I mean, you just get hit with fear right in the face.
Yeah. And you said
and you're
that
playing
too.
Scenarios in your head. Like you said, my life is over. I can't go on. And why don't take her, take me. She's better than me and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just, but it's just
and we
such
were all
a gradual
praying that
climb
because
out
we all
that.
Like Heather way better than you. So we were doing the same. We were standing in agreement with you.
Dude,
in hopes.
You were on the right side.
Yeah. Not me. My paychecks come from him.
Oh, yeah. But that's the other thing you said that was really good advice was you said you're gonna have some crazy thoughts because of fear and because
you're gonna
of depression.
Play scenarios in your head.
Yeah, and you said don't let that take over. You know, and that's another reason why you don't go through this alone is you need a sounding board. And so,
well, what do you think? I mean, what are some of the things? I mean, when it happened, were you feeling fear? Was that what your experience was?
Well, first of all, I thought my career was going to be over because
you're, really, as
I
a
really
comedian.
Did because I was like, what church is going to let a divorced comedian come
really?
In? But then the more I thought about it, I was like, look, this isn't even my choice, but this is something I'm dealing with now. And, you know, and God's still faithful. That's something I said on stage. I was like, even if you find the closest person in your life who you pledge your undying love to, if that person walks away from you, God's not going to do that. God's never going to walk away from you. And I've seen that firsthand this year. And so I thought, man, actually, that's a good message that nobody's talking about right now. Nobody's talking about being divorced because it's always been a taboo.
Yeah, a lot of the Christian radio, it's about, hey, today we have we have Jan and Dan. And boy, they're with us. They're doing a marriage seminar called Make It Work. And they've been making work. Hey, Dan, thanks for coming. Well, you know, I think Jan should speak first because she's the lady in my life. And she's the lady in my life. And we're sitting knee to knee right now. We sit knee to knee all the time, and that's the way Christian couples do it. Knee to knee. That's we look
you,
into
Dan.
One another's
Dan,
eyes.
You are so wonderful. And can you hear me? Because I'm still holding his hand, and I can't adjust the mic. I know it probably needs to be adjusted, but I'm not going to let go of his
You're
hand.
You're great as a girl. You're great as a girl. I love it.
And, I practiced before the show.
You know, I think
I hate that my I practice is the same voice that I just so did. Yeah,
that's right. Well, the good Lord is like she's like a fine. She's like a rose. I mean, she has different petals, but you know, some people, you know, they like. She likes the gifts. She likes gift giving. And I was like, I thought she was act of service.
I do all five just to make sure I'm covered.
Oh my gosh. I'm
yeah.
Crying.
You're like, do you have any testosterone in your body at all?
But that's all there's out there because I started researching because there was a moment where I thought because I talked to a couple of promoters and I was like, do you think this is something I could talk about? Because I'm passionate about it now because there's a lot of divorced people out there that are dealing with a lot of stuff. And if I can encourage them and say, look, if a goofy guy like me can make it through this, then you can too. So I started researching and there's not a lot of good, positive, you know, stuff out there that's real. That's real. Yeah. It's not that, you know. That kind of
it's like anything else, addictions, things like that. Where the church is like, okay, now some people are doing well with helping people in the church, but otherwise, I mean, it feels like that the church is kind of, I don't know if they turn their back on it. They just don't know how to help people like that. It's almost like there's denial. And I hate to say it, but even in Texas, I mean, my experience in Texas, it's all about everything's okay, everything's just fine. We're doing great. Everybody's great.
Yeah,
and. I mean, that's got to be
real life.
And if something's going on, you're just got to like, well, I can't go to the church.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody that can relate. I can relate to there.
Because we think we're the only ones going through it. And so that was one of the first reasons why I thought I need to start talking about this on stage. Because, I mean, it's real life. And if you go by statistics, half the audience is affected. Either they're divorced or they are, you know, affected by divorce. And so I thought, well, you know, let's just see. But you ask about crazy thoughts, you know, like one of the first thoughts was, well, that I'm going to move. I was going to move to San Antonio and get a condo. Just a change
get
of
away.
Life. Yeah, just
really?
Change, yeah, just to get away. But then, you know, because of you, not to keep, you know, this is getting real mushy, but you gave me some really great advice. And so I started like soundboarding off you guys, your road manager. And so I realized, man, I can't do that because I can't, you know, I've got kids and I can't, you know, move where they're long distance. And, you know, but you said you're going to have some crazy thoughts. Don't do anything impulsive. And so that was one of my first crazy thoughts was I just want to get away. I want to get to a new town. Mm. I called Cleto and I was like, hey, how's the airport there? Is that a good place to move to?
Right,
and, you know, and all that. But it was just a crazy thought. It was an impulse. You know, you just want to get away and you feel like a failure and you want to get away and, you know, start a new life kind of thing. But then once you settle in on it, you're like, you know what? I can get through this.
And yeah. So you've kind of climbed out of it.
Yeah.
You feel like you've, is that how you feel now? I mean, do you feel?
I feel victorious that I've made it through the bad part. Like I've made it through the desert part.
Now, do you want to talk about things now?
Yeah, yeah. I'm
let
totally
me let
fine with
give
talking.
You the what's going on right with
Bob Smiley. Can we
hear
Bob from our Smiley, pilot right? again? Can we?
Well, okay. Thanks very much. we're about 50 miles away from one of the cities. So thanks so much. Let me just take care. We're gonna keep going. Luggage. Your luggage is going to be on the corner of Carousel 3.
Ding.
Carousel.
Ding, ding.
It's like this plane is $20 million. You couldn't get a better mic than that.
I think I sold my Countryman to them.
Oh, my gosh.
What's the deal with the plane?
The first show.
Yeah. So what's up now, Bob Smiley?
So now I'm free to date. And I wasn't going to jump right back in and start dating and stuff, but my kids actually brought it up and they brought it up all within the same 3 days. And Coulter, you know, he was like, are you going to start dating again? I was like, well, what do you think? You know, would you be cool with that? And he goes, as long as you don't date my girlfriend's moms. And then the other two had
too late.
I was like, well then got to throw one back here. And then the other two had completely different thoughts, but all three of them were like, yeah, you should go out, you know, you should be happy. And so once I got kind of the okay with that, I did start like looking around and seeing and stuff. The greatest was I was in an airport for like 3 hours and I've got a single friend in Nashville and I texted her and I was like, man, I'm bored out of my mind. And she goes, you got to go on a dating site and get a profile and you will never be bored
again.
So I went on this dating
site. The
new
frontier.
Oh my goodness. You would be mad. I was mad.
Why?
Because I spent 18 years trying to write the funniest comedy in the world. I had no idea it was all on one website.
Really?
Compiled.
What was that like?
The first one, we can cut this if you think it's too much, because I'm not making light of this. I'm not making fun. But this was actually the first profile I read.
Okay.
It was a really cute girl, said Christian. Like, it was the first thing I looked for, Christian. Her little profile thing that described her, she goes, hi, I'm Katie, and I'm a very positive girl, very positive. In fact, I have HIV. I'm HIV positive. That was her opening line.
Really?
And that was my first thing to read on a profile on a dating site.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, oh, this is my life now. Like I'm having to factor in everything of, you know, because I mean, now I'm dating people that are my age and they've been through a life of, you know, who knows what, adventure and, you know, all this stuff. And so it is. It's a lot different than whenever you're dating in high school and stuff.
My goodness.
So, yeah, some of these dating profiles are just hilarious though, because you see girls that are just like scantily clad and they're doing the duck face and everything, and then you read their profile and it's like, I'm just looking for a good Christian man to take me to church. And I'm like, how did that match up?
Yeah,
it's just, oh my goodness, it's hilarious.
I'm looking for a nice Christian man to
so
come
John
take
Christ.
Me away.
Sounds
this
like
is
John
this is more like Jack Christ with a cold. I'm a self-starter, and I like going to games, events, and concerts.
I'll be the Nyquil and I'll crush it.
But man, I mean, so many people are like, I mean, a good buddy of mine. Yeah,
yeah.
He He met a girl on one of the dating sites, and then just got married, and that's well, I mean,
it's
how else
the way,
do you meet?
Yeah.
I mean, as well as like Christians, I mean, do they go to bars? I mean,
yeah, that's the thing.
Where, like, do you meet people?
And my church has no single group. Like, there's nobody. I think I'm literally the only single.
Yeah.
Like, at least divorced, you know, guy.
Well, that's something we didn't talk about either. Like, How has your church? Are you still at the same?
I'm still at church. Yeah, I'm still
now,
same church.
How were they? Have they been supportive of you, or has it just been like, hey, Bob? Hey, it's divorced Bob.
Yeah. They call me DB.
Yeah.
Which I prefer. DB. I used to be the non-tither. So it's so much. It's a little better. No. Yeah, they didn't do anything for a long time, which they even admitted. The guy who called me, he was like, man, we kind of dropped the ball on that. We knew you guys were what was happening, and we just didn't call you up and check on you, and we apologized. Like they owned it. But then we had two meetings. Like, we actually went in and met with the elders, and she told them exactly what they told me. It was like, I just don't want to be married anymore.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we can't condone that, but we, you know, we're not going to kick you out. We're going to love on you. And, you know, and I kind of was like,
she's a witch. Yeah, anyway.
I was like,
what
else? She turned me into a newt.
She
I'm turned a newt
into
now.
A newt.
Turned me into a newt.
I got better.
I want to sue you now.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, that's but then that's it. So we had two meetings, and then I haven't had a phone call from them. So I mean, I don't want to badmouth. I love my church, but I really like I now am going to start. If I hear that there's a couple that is getting divorced, I'm going to reach out to them and try to stay in contact with them, because I know what it's like to not have somebody check on me. You know, so that's kind of where I'm at.
Well. Dang, man.
Yeah. But my kids love the church, so I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, my kids love that church, but there is no singles group. There is no. So you're right. Like, online dating, or I'm going to try to do as many radio podcasts as I can.
Well, you're always welcome here.
My website
is
Bob.
But it's going well, though. So you're
It's going well, man.
Doing well.
Yeah. I don't want to get like too.
We were worried about you there for a second. I don't remember when we saw him. We're like, Bob doesn't look good. It was like, you lost a bunch of weight.
I dropped 32 pounds in a month and a half.
Just from the stress?
Well, it was the stress. I quit eating. And then to pass my time, because, you know, we're home all day during the week.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to just sit in a dark room by myself. So I'd go to the gym and I would just run all day. And, you know, I'd live. So I dropped 32 pounds in a month and a half. And man, I had no.
You lost your nice round booty. It was like, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I don't have my badonkadonk.
I call it the babonkadonk.
The babonkadonk
is what I call it.
Bob Onkadonk.
I had a friend of mine.
Sorry, no, go
That was from Jan. But
Dad and Jan. Hey, Dad and Jan.
Sorry, we took some time to kiss, and now we're back on the show.
Right. We try to, every day, a 10-second kiss. A 10-second kiss. If you can do that every day,
sometimes
God's going to bless your marriage. He's going to bless
your
marriage.
It really strengthens your lip muscles.
I'm really pouring into her right now. I'm totally pouring into Jan.
My cup is filled over. And yeah. No, but I actually had a friend of mine. She pulled me aside one time, and she goes, okay, you're done losing weight. And you know, that was kind of my wake-up call of...
Really?
Yeah.
You had a friend that called?
I had a friend. She just pulled me aside, and she's real blunt with me. And she was like, all right, you're done losing weight. You look bad now. And that was... And nobody told me that yet. And so I looked in the mirror, and I was like, wow, I really am, like, way too thin.
Yeah.
So I've gained about 12 pounds since then. So I'm...
You look great right now.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you look great.
Thanks.
I mean, it seems like...
eyeliner.
Well, it seems like you're confident. I mean, it seems like you're at peace.
I'm happy because, you know, I really worried about my kids. That was my biggest, two things I worried about was my kids first, and then my career.
Right.
Was that, you know, and now my kids are actually doing really well, and they've seen firsthand God do some amazing things. So although I wouldn't want this life, and I didn't want it, there's been so many great things come from it. And one of it is my kids' faith is a lot stronger. And the other thing is, you know, my career seems to be okay. I mean, I'm on the tour bus right now with you. So,
we love having you, man.
Thanks, man.
It's just priorities now. I just got, a while back, I said, my priorities are nuts. And I just got them all around. God, Oprah, wife, IKEA, kids.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I have those five things.
Yeah.
everything's going to be all right.
Wait, what?
So what's
Oprah?
The future like? Not what? Now, do you have any projects or anything? Like, are you have any goals? What do you want to do, man?
Well, I've talked about this on stage a couple times, and it's gone really well. And I've surprisingly had a lot of because I'm very pro marriage. Like, I absolutely think marriage can be a wonderful thing. And so I talk about that. Like, if your marriage is struggling, and you talk about this on stage, but that you need to make it a priority, because if you don't, Satan will just continue to rip it apart. And I've had a lot of married couples come up after the show and say, you know what, our marriage isn't good, but it should be. We're just not making progress. So I did that one time, and this guy came up that is head of a church, and he was like, man, you need to do like a single seminar for divorced people. And, you know, because there's nothing out there that's really for those people to encourage. And so I'm kind of looking at that. Like, I'm talking to a church in Houston that is really interested in doing that. And so that may be something I do. Other than that, I'm just still going to, you know, travel around.
Just crank it out.
Make people laugh. And, yeah.
Dang, dude.
Love on my kids. And
yeah. Hunt.
You know, hunt. And just hopefully get a lot of hits on my new profile on the single website.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, Bob, you should try Farmers Only.
Farmers Only? Is that okay?
All right, I'll try.
I need to get my tan ready first.
Yeah. Just stand out in the sun with the tank top
and a t-shirt.
On. You'll get a great farmer's tan. And I'm going to be like, look at him. He's full on farmer. And they're going to be like, crowded in the ladies, man.
Crowded in
That's
the ladies.
That's the voice in my head now.
You heard
That's,
it here first.
I did, yeah.
Crowded in the ladies.
That is a good voice in my head.
It's going to be a new saying. It's probably, trust me, it's going to be awesome.
Hey, Jackson, do you want to sing any songs while we're here?
Oh, come on, please.
You
don't,
your
please.
Mom was like, have him sing. Have Jackson sing on your podcast. So I said, well, honey, he probably won't. I want him to also, but he's free to do what he wants.
I'm a banana. I'm a banana. I'm singing.
If you ever doubt it, he is free to do what he wants.
Like,
and I think we just
proved
that.
I'll sing I'm a Banana by
What's
Orion.
What's your favorite song right now? What do you like?
I'm a Banana by Orion.
What?
I said,
that's a real song?
Yeah.
I'm you want to sing some Wiggles?
Yeah. Give me a Wiggle song. Oh, wait. Fruit salad.
Oh, that's the
yummy,
best.
Yummy. Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. Fruit salad.
More Wiggles words.
Yummy, yummy. Yummy, 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 yummy. Fruit salad.
And I never forgot that one.
Oh, that's good.
What about jam?
Oh, banana, banana.
Mashed potatoes, mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Hot potato.
Cold
spaghetti?
Banana,
it's hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Potato.
Potato.
Potato, potato, potato. Cold spaghetti, cold spaghetti.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
Cold spaghetti, cold spaghetti. Cold spaghetti, cold spaghetti.
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 Spaghetti. Spaghetti. Here we go. Mosh banana, mosh banana. Mosh banana, mosh banana. Mosh banana, mosh banana.
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 Banana. Banana. Banana. Yeah. What was the one with the pirate?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that the other day. I was looking at the channels and there's this pirate on the Wiggles. I was like, when did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Wiggles.
Are the Wiggles still doing it? Are they still?
Well, the one guy got sick and they got another guy. I'm sure they're doing it.
Like, they were always in this white room.
They're way older now. I think they're the Shakers now.
The Wiggles and the Shakers.
The Shakers. It's like, they're like, they used to be in this plain white room with some stuff in there, and they just.
What, man, that'd be a great gig, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
How much do you think those guys are making?
Billions.
Yeah, a lot. Because they tour.
A ton.
Do they really?
And
yeah, they
love
tour. I have a friend that had a girl and he had to take her every time that they would come through town.
Yeah.
And they tickets are not cheap. Those
are they
people
doing
make
like
a
arenas?
Lot of money.
Like small arenas, college arenas and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, they were doing like, he said that there was like 1,000 or 1,200 people.
You think they're making like half a mil a piece or more?
I think so. They
With a TV show, yeah. Like with that Blues Clues guy. Yeah. I mean, he retired millions.
That guy.
Yeah.
Did he really?
He was super rich.
His brother
rich.
Took over.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
He had like 11 million.
Did something happen
dollars.
With him? Was there like a
there
scandal?
There was a rumor that he was like a meth addict or something
what?
Like that. Yeah, there was a rumor
he
that
he was in a band. That was actually pretty good. He was in a band.
Oh, really?
But there was a, as soon as he left.
Was that his name, Steve?
Steve, yeah.
Steve! Yeah. As soon as he left, there was a rumor that he was on meth, and that's why he left, and that's why he was so skinny, and then they brought in
come
his.
Come on.
Yeah, I think it's totally bogus, but that was, you know, that was the rumor around. And
the rumor about the Blue's Clues guy. Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He made kids have his ears.
I'm on meth.
What?
I didn't know that.
When did this happen?
He's sitting on $1 million.
There was no
clue. I thought it was toothpaste. Dang it.
Well, Bob, happy to see that you're sporting
that
our...
Wait, that pill wasn't supposed to help me? Oh.
Thank you, voice in my head. I'm happy to see you're sporting the TH...
Oh, sorry.
...jacket.
Oh, I just punched
Bob
the guy who gave me...
Matt in the face.
And
wow,
he gave
you okay?
me this jacket.
Our merch manager...
I'm sorry.
...accidentally... Glasses flew off and everything.
I'm telling you, I don't like people
that
to get too close to me
part
now.
Of this
okay,
podcast.
I'm not ready yet.
Sorry.
Sorry, dude, man. I really hit him too.
You okay?
Thanks for selling our shirts.
I just did a Colin McGregor on him. That's what he did. He comes at me, I'm going to flatten you with me palm and be pulling me hand. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to flatten you. I don't care. He's just a common thug is what he is. He's not a fighter.
Ranger, he's
what's
like
it like
never
to feel that?
Fight.
What's it like?
Oh my goodness.
I thought about that. Punching him right in the face. With me lucky charms.
I told you I wanted a large and he gave me a medium.
I wish I was such a good MMA fighter that when they brought me on stage, I would just go out in the octagon playing a flute. What's with the flute music? Oh no, I'm going to annihilate this guy. I'm going to crush him. But before that, I'm gonna play a song in me flute.
We actually do have
just
a flute in our show.
Bagpipes.
Yeah. Well, we haven't used it in a while. What happened to the flute?
I forgot it, and then I just played the guitar, and it just kind of,
you got
I don't
that
know.
From Canada, right?
Yeah, I got
a handmade flute.
Indian wood flute. We found, I got one from a guy in Canada who made them, and then we remember when we were in Portland.
That guy with the funny hat, he hand-built them. That was quite the experience.
The funny hat and a half a thumb.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah.
One of those, like, festivals in Portland.
Yeah,
and he had half a thumb
these,
and he made flutes.
This was the guy right here.
Yeah, he makes flutes and he just carves them himself. And it's all about each flute has its own spirit. And you just have to find the tone with the spirit. Actually, the F sharp is the frequency of the human spirit, the F sharp. So that's the one. There he is. That's
the
him
guy,
right there. Yeah.
Okay, is that why my A harmonica sounded so bad on stage whenever you're playing the flute?
Well, okay, let me address that. We've actually never talked about it. So Tim is actually playing... This may not make sense to you, but he's playing like as the A minor, as the one chord.
Yeah.
So you're playing in a major key. He's playing in a minor key, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think the minor thing is funny because he's playing in a minor key underneath the funny one-liner tweets, and then you come in a major key. So it's not completely off, but it's just kind of like, that doesn't sound right, but I like it.
I have no idea what you're saying.
That's fine.
But like I watched A Mighty Wind, and...
A
I
what?
Watched it with the
Mighty
movie
Wind,
A Mighty Wind.
Yeah.
And I watched it with all lighting directors and you know, all these tech, like, crew guys on tour. And they were dying laughing at all these inside jokes of like, oh, look, he's got a 36 monitor mixer and they're doing one, all that. And I had no clue. But I was like having a fake laugh along. Like, yeah, can you believe that?
I know.
Look at that mic stand. And so I have no idea where you're
I feel
about
that way with cars. Be like, it's got a 406 with an 87, nitrous. I'm like, oh, that's a screamer.
I got a... Mine's got a
right. We'll break out my Matt Chandler voice. We'll do that next week. Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up, man. What a great weekend we've had with the great Bob Spine. Thanks for just talking about stuff and what you're going through. I think I think good things are in store for you, man.
Well, seriously, thanks for being there. I mean, it's been a year, and man, you've been wonderful, man. All the comics, man, have just been so great.
We got good friends.
We really do.
We got good Caleb on in the house doing the show.
Caleb
Jackson, thanks
once.
For hanging out, buddy. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We're going to sign off now.
And we're back.
Okay.
No, we're done.
No, we're wrapping up.
And we're done.
And we're done.
He's still going through training.
Yeah.
Jackson's still going through training.
What if somebody went into the octagon with, like, bagpipes? Like their ears would be on fire.
All right, Jackson, one thing you want the listeners to hear. You're going to wrap it up for us. What's the
Say my
the
DVD.
One thing?
Mullet's on fire. Come on, I'm the voice in your head now.
Eat more cake.
Eat more cake.
Eat more cake.
You heard it here
that
first.
That actually is great.
All right.